Rushdoony Radio presents Systematic Theology in Two Volumes by Russus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation. 18. Seminary Systematics. The presupposition of critical analysis is the autonomy of human thought. By means of rational and scientific analysis, free of presuppositions, man can supposedly arrive at the truth. Critical analysis, thus, first assumes an objective and autonomous stance on the part of man, an assumption which is pure myth, not reality. Second, critical analysis denies the fact of the fall as basic to the life and mind of man. Man's status as a fallen and sinful creature, a covenant breaker, radically alters all his thinking and conditions, his presuppositions. To suppose that such a man can give us an impartial and unbiased conclusion is to deny the fall and to assume that man is a god. Third, critical analysis denies the religious foundations of human thought and sees man as essentially rational rather than essentially religious. For a Christian to pursue critical analysis is to assume an anti-Christian intellectual stance which will progressively undermine his theological profession. Church seminaries and colleges eager to gain academic respectability, and the lust for academic respectability is the major cause of intellectual whoredom, regularly lose their professed faith because their methodology requires another religion, humanism. Having begun with critical analysis, they regularly wind up in bed with the humanists. Christian analysis, on the other hand, denies, first, that man can have an objective and an autonomous stance. Man is either a covenant keeper or a covenant breaker, and in either case, a creature, and hence never autonomous or objective. Second, the fall of man has clouded and twisted the mind of man. Not even the redeemed man, since he is far from perfectly sanctified in this life, is able to give an untainted analysis. Only as man seeks to think God's thoughts after him, in faithfulness to God's word, can man begin to know and understand the truth as God created it and declares it. Such valid knowledge as the ungodly gain will be wrenched out of context and given an alien meaning. Third, Christian analysis will always affirm that religious presuppositions govern the life and mind of man, so that man's faith will always condition his life and thought. But what does the seminary do, that is, the evangelical or the reformed seminary? Almost invariably, for example, as it approaches the Graf Wellhausen theory, it will do so from the perspective of critical analysis. The earnest and scholarly critique which follows will ably pinpoint the contradictions and errors of the documentary hypothesis concerning the Pentateuch, but at the same time, while gaining various local battles, it loses the war. It presupposes as valid a viciously false approach. It treats unbelief as an honest intellectual problem, whereas it is, in reality, a moral and religious problem. If the Bible is true, then whether a man is a male prostitute or a cynical critic of the Old Testament text, his is a moral and religious problem, not an intellectual question. Intellectual problems are internal questions within a system. A covenant breaker has one kind of intellectual problem, and a covenant keeper another. The intellectual problems are then questions of development, understanding, and growth within a faith and a framework, but man's presence within that framework is a religious and a moral decision. To adopt the methodology of unbelief is to accept the presuppositions of unbelief, and to surrender the faith that the intellectual problems of man as a creature have their roots in a religious and moral decision. The seminary and college with a false moral basis will soon go astray. The battle line is shifted from the moral to the intellectual realm to accommodate the enemy. a false systematics then undergirds the curriculum. The seminary, thus, will endlessly analyse the theories of the adherents of the Graaff-Wellhausen myth. Instead of teaching the Bible, it will be dealing with, quote, problems, end quote, in terms of critical analysis. It will grant moral validity to the enemy's objections and objectives. The student majoring in either Old or New Testament will know much about what the enemy has to say, but he can leave seminary and be unable, in an ordination examination, to name four minor prophets, spell Ezekiel, Zechariah, and Habakkuk, name the Ten Commandments, and do other like elementary things. These are actual illustrations from examinations. It stands to reason that he cannot summarize the main points of Romans, 1 Corinthians, Haggai, or Jeremiah. He can, however, discuss ably the Graaff-Wellhausen theory, so that, as a pastor, he has a good bag of stones to feed Christ's flock. If the student is a theology major, it is unlikely that he will leave the seminary with a full reading of any great theologian. He may be, quote, reformed, end quote, but it is unlikely that he will have read Calvin's Institutes, A Course in Calvin, the Church Fathers, Luther, Van Til, or any other like thinker is very unlikely, but he will get courses on the current theological idiot of the Covenant Breakers Church. After all, must he not have a box full of serpents for Christ's flock? Am I saying that it is wrong to study Barth, Moltmann, and the like? Not at all. For the specialist, provided he has had a firm grounding in sound theology and in good theologians, first of all, does he know, for example, Calvin's Institutes, the various relevant works of Van Til and the like? If not, he is wasting his time and defrauding God's people. If he knows his Bible and if he is thoroughly grounded in sound theology and Christian presuppositional analysis, then he can profitably deal with the enemy's thought and effectively cut out the ground from under the opposition. Again and again, reform movements within the church have gone astray, and the reforming seminaries all too quickly are proud of their respectability and accreditation by the enemy. Their scholars write learned studies dissecting the enemy by means of critical analysis, and then wind up, inch by inch, yard by yard, in the enemy's camp. All too readily they become themselves the cultured despisers of God's humble believers and the enemies of Christ's flock. By means of the methodology of critical analysis, they move into an alien systematics and begin to war against the household of faith. The necessity for a truly biblical systematic theology is thus an urgent one. If we do not view all things in terms of the triune God and his word, then we deny him at point after point. Well done for listening all the way to the end. This is Nathan, the narrator, speaking to you from Puebla, Mexico, from the Faith for All of Life school in which I teach English as a volunteer. I teach from kinder through high school. Now, I rely on donations in order to keep teaching and recording, so if you want to support a Faith for All of Life school in Latin America and want to keep listening to Rush Dooney while you vacuum, drive or cook, commute or whatever you're doing right now, donate at ctn.org/Nathan Conkey. That's NathanConkey, all lowercase. Or if you prefer PayPal, paypal.me/NNathanConkey. You can also email me at nfconkey, that's nfconkey@gmail.com. Thanks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.